So, we will be continuing chapter 9, if you remember when we ended. Harry just found out that he was going to be the seeker for their Quidditch team, which is quite possibly the stupidest position ever, but you know, that's cool. Well, but you do know that. What's that? Well, I know it is the most important part, but the point is that Quidditch is a really stupid game because of the seeker. Like, it would be an. Okay. It was dinner time. Harry had just finished telling Ron what had happened when he'd left the grounds with Professor McGonagall. Ron had a piece of steak and kidney pie halfway in his mouth, but he'd forgotten all about it. Seeker, he said, but first he is never. You must be the youngest house player in about a century, said Harry, shoveling pie into his mouth. He felt particularly hungry after the excitement of the afternoon. Wood told me. Ron was so amazed, so impressed. He just sat and gaped at Harry. I start training next week, said Harry. Only don't tell anyone. Wood wants to keep it a secret. Fred and George Weasley now came into the hall, spotted Harry, and hurried over. Well done, said George in a low voice. Wood told me. We're on the team too. Beat us. I tell you, we're going to win that Quidditch Cup for sure this year, said Fred. We haven't won since Charlie left, but this year's team is going to be brilliant. You must be good, Harry. Wood was almost skipping when he told us. Anyway, we've got to go. Lee Jordan reckons he's found a new secret passageway out of the school. Bet you it's that one behind the statue of Gregory the Smarmy we found in our first week. See? Fred and George had hardly disappeared when someone far less welcome turned up. Malfoy, flanked by Crabbe and Goyle. Having a last meal, Potter? When are you getting the train back to the Muggles? You're a lot braver now than you were back on that ground, now that you've got your little friends with you, said Harry coolly. There was, of course, nothing at all little about Crabbe and Goyle. But as the high table was full of teachers, neither of them could do more than crack their knuckles and scowl. I'd take you in any time on my own, said Malfoy. Tonight, if you want. Wizard's duel, wands only, no contact. What's the matter? Never heard of a wizard's duel before, I suppose? Of course he has, said Ron, wheeling around. I'm his second. Who's yours? Malfoy looked at Crabbe and Goyle, sizing them up. Crabbe, he said. Midnight all right? We'll meet you in the trophy room. That's always unlocked. When Malfoy had gone, Ron and Harry looked at each other. What's a wizard's duel? Said Harry. And what do you mean? You're my second. Well, a second there to take over if you die, said Ron casually, getting started at last on his cold pie. Catching the look on Harry's face, he added quickly, But people only die in proper duels, you know, with real wizards. The most you and Malfoy will be able to do is send sparks at each other. Neither of you knows enough magic to do any real damage. I'll bet he's expected you to refuse, anyways. And what if I wave my wand and nothing happens? Throw it away and punch him on the nose, Ron suggested. Excuse me, they both looked up. It was Hermione Granger. Can't a person eat in peace in this place? Said Ron. Hermione ignored him and spoke to Harry. I couldn't help overhearing what you and Malfoy were saying. Bet you could, Ron muttered. And you mustn't go wandering around the school at night. Think of the points you lose for Gryffindor if you're caught, and you're bound to be. It's really very selfish of you. It's really none of your business, said Harry. Goodbye, said Ron. All the same, it wasn't what you'd call the perfect end to the day, Harry thought as he lay awake much later, listening to Dean and Seamus fall asleep. Neville wasn't back from the hospital wing. Ron had spent all evening giving advice such as, If he tries to curse you, you'd better dodge it, because I can't remember how to block them. There was a very good chance they were going to get caught by Filch or Mrs. Norris, and Harry felt he was pushing his luck, breaking another school rule today. On the other hand, Malfoy's sneering face kept looming up out of the darkness. This was his big chance to beat Malfoy face to face. He couldn't miss it. 11:30, Ron muttered at last. We'd better go. They pulled on their bathrobes, picked up their wands, and crept across the tower door, down the spiral staircase, and into the Gryffindor common room. A few embers were still glowing in the fireplace, turning all the armchairs into hunched black shadows. They had almost reached the portrait hole, when a voice spoke from the chair nearest them. I can't believe you're going to do this, Harry. A lamp flickered on. It was Hermione Granger, wearing a pink bathrobe and a frown. This is getting pretty kinky, isn't it? You, said Ron furiously, go back to bed. I almost told your brother, Hermione snapped. Percy, he's a prefect. He'd put a stop to this. Harry couldn't believe anyone was so interfering. Come on, he said to Ron. He pushed open the portrait of the fat lady and climbed through the hole. Hermione wasn't going to give up that easily. She followed Ron through the portrait hole, hissing at them like an angry goose. Do you care about Gryffindor, or do you only care about yourself? Yeah. Go away. All right, but I warned you. You just remember when I said that when you're on the train home tomorrow, you're so... But what they were, they didn't find out. Hermione had turned to the portrait of the fat lady to get back inside, and found herself facing an empty painting. The fat lady had gone on a nighttime visit, and Hermione was locked out of Gryffindor Tower. Now what am I going to do? She asked Ron, as she asked shrilly. That's your problem, said Ron. We've got to go. We're going to be late. They hadn't even reached the end of the corridor when Hermione caught up with them. I'm coming with you, she said. You are not. Do you think I was going to stand out here and wait for Filch to catch me? If he finds all three of us, I'll tell him the truth, that I was trying to stop you and you can back me up. You've got some nerve, said Ron loudly. Shut up, both of you, said Harry sharply. I heard something. It was a sort of snuffling. Mrs. Norris, breathed Ron, squinting through the dark. But it wasn't Mrs. Norris. It was Neville. He was curled up on the floor, fast asleep, but jerked suddenly awake as they crept nearer. Thank goodness you found me. I've been out here for hours. I couldn't remember the password. Keep your voice down, Neville. The password's Pigsnout, but it won't help you now. The fat lady's gone off somewhere. How's your arm? Said Harry. Fine, said Neville, showing them. But I'm Pomfrey mended it in about a minute. Good. Well, look, Neville, we've got to be somewhere. We'll see you later. Don't leave me, said Neville, scrambling to his feet. I don't want to stay here alone. The Bloody Baron's been passed twice already. Ron had looked at his watch and then glared furiously at Hermione and Neville. If either of us get caught, I'll never rest until I've learned the curse of the bogeys Quirrell told us about and used it on you. Hermione opened her mouth, perhaps to tell Ron exactly how to use the curse of the bogeys, but Harry hissed at her to be quiet and beckoned them all forward. They flitted along corridors with striped with bars of moonlight from the high windows. At every turn, Harry expected to run into Filch or Mrs. Norris, but they were lucky. They sped up a staircase to the third floor and tiptoed toward the trophy room. Malfoy and Crabbe weren't there yet. The crystal trophy cases glimmered when the moonlight caught them. Cups, shields, plates, and statues winked silver and gold in the darkness. They edged along the walls, keeping their eyes at the doors at the end of the room. Harry took out his wand and gave Malfoy leapt in and started at once. The minutes crept by. He's late. Maybe he's chickened out, Ron whispered. Then, a noise in the next room made them jump. Harry had only just raised his wand when they heard someone speak, and it wasn't Malfoy. Sniff around, my sweet. They might be lurking in a corner. It was Filch speaking to Mrs. Norris. Horror-struck, Harry waved madly at the other three to follow him as quickly as possible. They scurried silently toward the door, away from Filch's voice. Neville's robes had barely whipped around the corner when they heard Filch enter the trophy room. They're in here somewhere, they heard him mutter, probably hiding. This way, Harry mouthed to the others, and petrified, they began to creep down a long galley full of suits of armor. They could hear Filch getting nearer. Neville suddenly let out a frightened squeak and broke into a run. He tripped, grabbing Ron by the waist, and then the pair of them toppled right into the suit of armor. The crashing and clanging were enough to wake the whole castle. Run! Harry yelled, and the four of them sprinted down the galley, not looking back to see whether Filch was following. They swung around toward the doorpost and galloped down one corridor, then another, Harry in the lead, without any idea where they were going. They ripped through a tapestry and found themselves in a hidden passageway, hurtled along it, and came out right near their charms classroom, which they knew was miles from the trophy room. Wait, miles? They ran for like a few minutes and now they're miles. Does that make any sense? Like, so it suddenly like transports them instantly? Yes. Interesting. Magic is a wonderful thing. I think we've lost him, Harry panted, leaning against the cold wall and wiping his forehead. Neville was bent double, wheezing and spluttering. I told you, Hermione gasped, clutching at the stitch in her chest. I told you. We've got to get back to Gryffindor Tower, said Ron, as quickly as possible. Malfoy tricked you, Hermione said to Harry. You realize that, don't you? He was never going to meet you. Filch knew someone was going to be in the trophy room. Malfoy must have tipped him off. No, Filch knew someone was going to be in the trophy room. Malfoy must have tipped him off, she says. Right? Harry thought she probably was right, but he wasn't going to tell her that. Let's go. It wasn't going to be that simple. They hadn't gone more than a dozen paces when the doorknob rattled, and something came shooting out of a classroom in front of them. It was Peeves. He caught sight of them and gave a squeal of delight. Shut up, Peeves, please. You'll get us thrown out. Peeves cackled. Walking around at midnight, ickle firsties. Tut, tut, tut. Naughty, naughty, you'll get caughty. Not if you don't give us away, Peeves, please. Should tell Filch I should, said Peeves in a saintly voice, but his eyes glickered wickedly. It's for your own good, you know. Get out of the way, snapped Ron, taking a swipe at Peeves. This was a big mistake. Students out of bed, Peeves bellowed. Students out of bed down in the charms corridor. Ducking under Peeves, they ran for their lives. Right to the end of the corridor where they slammed into a door, and it was locked. This is it, Ron moaned as they pushed helplessly at the door. We're done for. This is the end. They could hear footsteps, Filch running as fast as he could toward Peeves' shouts. Oh, move over, Hermione snarled. She grabbed Harry's wand, tapped the lock, and whispered, Alhomara. The lock clicked, and the door swung open. They piled through it, shut it quickly, and pressed their ears against it, listening. Which way did they go, Peeves? Filch was saying. Quick, tell me. Say please. Don't mess with me, Peeves. Now where do they go? Shan't say nothing if you don't say please, said Peeves in his annoying sing-song voice. All right, please. Nothing, ha. I told you I wouldn't say nothing if you didn't say please. Ha, 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 ha. They heard the sound of Peeves whooshing away and Filch cursing in rage. He thinks this door is locked, Harry whispered. I think we'll be okay. Get off, Neville. For Neville had been tugging on the sleeve of Harry's bathrobe for the last minute. What? Harry turned around and saw quite clearly what. For a moment, he was sure he'd walked into a nightmare. This was too much on top of everything that had happened so far. They weren't in a room, as he had supposed. They were in a corridor. The forbidden corridor on the third floor. And now they knew why it was forbidden. They were looking straight into the eyes of a monstrous dog, a dog that filled the whole space between the ceiling and floor. It had three heads, three pairs of rolling mad eyes, three noses twitching and quivering in their direction, three drooling mouths, saliva hanging in slippery ropes from yellowish fangs. It was standing quite still, all six eyes staring at them, and Harry knew that the only reason they weren't already dead was that their sudden appearance had taken it by surprise. But it was quickly getting over that, and there was no mistaking what those thunderous growls meant. Harry groped for the doorknob. Between Filch and death, he'd take Filch. They fell backward. Harry slammed the door shut, and they ran. They almost flew back down the corridor. Filch must have hurried off to look for them somewhere else, because they didn't see him anywhere, but they hardly cared. All they wanted was to put as much space between them and that monster. They didn't stop running until they reached the portrait of the fat lady on the seventh floor. "Where on earth have you been?" she asked, looking at the bathrobes hanging off their shoulders and their flushed, sweaty faces. "Never mind that. Pig snout," panted Harry, and their portrait swung up forward. They scrambled into the common room and collapsed, trembling into armchairs. It was a while before any of them said anything. Neville, indeed, looked as though if he'd never speak again. "What do you think they're doing, keeping a thing like that locked up in a school?" said Ron firmly. If any dog needs exercise, that one does. Hermione got both her breath and her bad temper back again. "You don't use your eyes, any of you, do you?" she snapped. "Didn't you see what it was standing on?" "The floor?" Harry suggested. "I wasn't looking at its feet. I was too busy with its head." "No, not the floor. It was standing on a trap door. It's obviously guarding something." She stood up, glaring at them. "I hope you're pleased with yourselves. We could all have been killed, or worse, expelled. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to bed." Ron stared after her, his mouth open. "No, we don't mind," he said. "You'd think we dragged her along, wouldn't you?" But Hermione had given Harry something else to think about as he climbed back into bed. The dog was guarding something. What had Hagrid said? Gringotts was the safest place in the world for something you wanted to hide, except perhaps Hogwarts. It looked as though Harry had found out where the grubby little package from Vault 713 was. And that's the end of Chapter 9. Hope you liked it, Kitty.
Mm-hmm. I love you. I'm gonna go to sleep.
Okay, bye. Kitty. Good night.